Thank you, Adam. Well, it's good to be here. I greet each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I greet those who are live streaming tonight. I was telling a sister before the service, it seems that more and more as I stand up here, the lesson's in my mind. And she said, that may be a good thing. I told her that I felt like I was in a big room and there were several corridors going off, 10 or 12 corridors, and each one had a little bit of information and hopefully feeds into the room this night. I hope at the end of this sermon that everything kind of makes sense. Brother Adam's sermon this morning went along with some of the thoughts I had and kind of, in a way, said what I'd like to say tonight, only he used a different word. He used the word repent, which was a good word in the context that he used it in this morning, that we must change how we're thinking, that we must change our how we look at things and how we view our surroundings and how we view our own souls. Things will never be the same. Oh, we may get through this pandemic and maybe the nation will and the world will get back to somewhat a normal state. But every time nations and communities go through certain upheavals, it's really never the same after that. You know, 9/11, things have never been the same after 9/11. I can remember back in the 60s, they had the riots in Detroit. And people in Canada used to sit on the riverbank and watch the riots in Detroit. They could see the fires and they'd watch it. Things have never been the same since then. Things will never be the same for the Church of Christ. We must change. We have to change for the better. We have to grow. We have to mature. This church will never go away. That's a promise from God. This church will be here. But we must be better. We need to be better. Our attitude, perhaps, our looking in ourselves. We need to change. We need to be stronger. We need to be more in tune with God. You know, if and when things collapse, you know, and I'm not making any prediction. I have no idea for sure where we are in God's timetable. But things, you know, collapsed, where will we be? As individuals, as a church, as a people, where will we be? You know, Adam mentioned this morning that, and I felt the same thing over the last 6 months, frustrations. Frustrations I guess starting with the government and the medical community, all the way down, there's been frustrations in our lives. And but we need to rise above frustrations. We need to rise above our frustrations. In the third book of Nephi, in chapter 10, and I want to kind of set the tone a little bit by who we are. We need to maybe, I don't know, have a better understanding or a better realization of who we are. And the first verse of the 10th chapter, and I'm going to go back into the 9th chapter eventually, but in the first verse of the 10th chapter, it says, but if they, speaking of the Gentiles, will repent and hearken unto my words, and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant and be numbered among the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob. We are part of the covenant that God has made to his people. We're part of the inheritance. We are God's people. And we need to remember that we're God's people. He has a purpose for us. He has a place for us. He has a work for us. And as the saying goes, we as individuals, we need to step up to the plate. This is a time of preparation, a time for God's people to prepare for the future, to prepare. He may come, the Lord may come, he may not, but we need to prepare for the events that are coming for the future. We need to be prepared to stand strong and firm and steadfast in this gospel of Christ, in what we believe and what we stand for. And like our brother said this morning, don't let our frustrations cloud our vision, cloud who we are, cloud what God wants us to do, who he wants us to be. This is a time of change. This is a time of change in the world. Things and events that most of us have not experienced to the extent that we see changes happening not only in this nation, but in the world. No matter how, and I don't know if they're going to get worse, better, or stay the same, but no matter how bad things get, we need to keep in mind that God is in control. That doesn't mean we sit back and allow him to just do what he wants, but we have to take our part. We have to do our part. He uses us. He uses the children of men. He uses his people, but God is in control. And I think sometimes we forget that he is. And I'd like to read in the third book of Nephi in the 9th chapter. I'm going to begin the 101st verse. And these verses are kind of what's happening today. Prelude to the coming of the Lord, prelude to other things that are going to happen. Perhaps it's the events that are happening. I'm not going to say. But in the 101st verse, he says, "Yea, woe unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all thy strongholds." And we can see that to at least a certain extent in this nation today. Cutting down. He's cutting off our cities. You know, New York City, the heart of this nation, the heart of the financial world, perhaps the heart of Babylon that the Lord speaks of in the scriptures that we must come out of. He brought that city to its knees. And you go to the other coast and you go to Los Angeles and the heart of the entertainment industry, one of the idols that has been in our lives for years and years and years, brought them to their knees, shut them down with a little virus. It wasn't any stroke from the heaven. It wasn't any violent thing. It wasn't earth-shattering, so to speak. It was a little virus. And he destroys things with that. See, and he's going to destroy our chariots. And that, to me, that's our military. That's our weapons. It's always been in the history of the scriptures. Chariots have been the vehicle of armies. Perhaps it's just our vehicles, our cars, our transportation. And he says, "I will cut off witchcraft of thy land, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images will I also cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands. We have idols. We have idols in this nation. Government's an idol. The government will take care of us. The medical community, the scientific community, we look to them for salvation. We look to them for the cure for this. We look to them to solve our problems. Entertainment industry has been an idol in our lives for many years. Sports brought sports to its knees. You know, somebody was telling me, I think today, that the NBA, they're down 60-70% in viewers. You know, they may not survive. Football may not survive. You know, baseball may not survive. These things that we held up as idols, these sports idols, these entertainment idols, are being cast down. Shall no more worship the works of our hands. You know, idol. An idol is anything that we hold up, perhaps of value. It could be a graven image. It could be an idea. It could be a thought. It could be a sports figure, a Hollywood star. But if we hold those things up before God, you know, he said, that was the first thing he told Moses, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Unfortunately, not only this nation, but the nations of the world have other gods before the one who created us. We have idols in our hearts. We have idols in our nations. We have, you know, if we have a thought or a desire or an opinion that we cling to above all other things is an idol. We're not to worship the works of our hands, whatever that may be. And I'll pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, and I'll destroy thy cities. And it shall come to pass that all lyings and deceivings and envies and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. You can look at the nation today, and you can see the first part of that. There's nothing. Everything that seemed to be secret over the last few years is all of a sudden coming forth. We can see the lyings and we can see the deceivings all the way through our society. He's going to destroy it all. He's going to destroy it all. And for it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that at that day whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among thy people. From among my people, O house of Israel, and I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. There's a, and I can't quote it, and I don't even know where it is right off the top of my head. There's a scripture in the Book of Mormon that says that those that belong to the great and abominable church must needs be brought to repentance. That's part of our job, I think, in these latter days, is to maybe just be there when they're ready. But they must come to repentance. They must come to Jesus Christ. But not just in word, not just in action, but in service. We must serve God. You know, it says Jesus Christ is the God of this land, and we must serve him. When we don't, the promise is, the curse is, the condemnation is, when we do not serve the God of this land, who is Jesus Christ, we'll be destroyed. We can see that through history. We can see that with God's people over the last few centuries. They were destroyed because they forsook their God. We must worship Jesus Christ. A time to prepare, a time to draw closer to God, in whatever that may be. Not one of us here that can't look within our own hearts and see. And like Adam said this morning, no big, you know, nothing glaring. You know, he can't make a list of all glaring things, but none of us can look within our heart and not see something, not see something that God would like us to change. An attitude, perhaps, or a belief, or things that we do, things that we don't do. He wants our hearts and our minds. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I think these are important verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the 16th verse. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwell within you? Those of us who have entered into the waters of baptism, we became the temple of God. That Spirit of God entered into us and dwells with us, walks with us, talks with us, is part of us. And then you go on to 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That's a calling for us, brothers and sisters, a calling to walk righteously before God. And Peter said the judgment begins at the house of God. Begins with us. Begins with his people. God is perfecting his saints. This is a time of sifting, a time of trial, a time of soul searching, so to speak. We need to look deep within our souls. And who are we? Who do we worship? And what are we willing to do to serve God? What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to change? What are we willing to embrace more? He wants not just lip service. He doesn't want our part-time service. He wants our daily devotion. I'm not saying we have to spend 10 hours a day studying the scriptures and on our knees in prayer and come to church every day. I'm not saying that. But he wants, you know, when we're at work or kids are going back to school, to keep our focus, to be an example. He wants our thoughts and our hearts drawn out onto him. And again, in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the 19th verse, Paul again says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're bought and paid for. We're bought and paid for by the death of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood and he bought us. We are his. He owns us. He paid the price. He says, therefore, and here's our responsibility, therefore, glorify God in your body. Things that we do, the things that, you know, those of us who work, when we go to work, people need, they must see Christ in our countenance. They must be able to say that we're different. That we must be different. We must be, not for our own glory or not to be lifted up, but as he says in Matthew, that our good works will bring glory to God. And that's what he says here. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. Like I said, we may get through this pandemic and things may recover. And life will go on. Life will go on. That's a given. Life is going to go on. It's not going to end unless it's that time in God's plan. But for now, for the foreseeable future, for tomorrow, it will get up. Will be over. But for us, it will not be the same. Or should it be the same? Hopefully for us, we will be better. And I'm speaking spiritually. We need to be better spiritually And I can only speak for myself. I sometimes find myself slipping into a spiritual ease. Things are going well. I'm comfortable. You know, no problems in my life. And find myself slipping into a spiritual easiness. We can't do that. We can't do that. I said this before. The first thing, and I literally, the first thing God said to me when this started back, I guess in March, he said, take this time and draw closer to me. I found in my journey over the last 6 months, as I desire to draw closer to him, guess what? And it goes back to what Paul says. Paul says, when I desire to do good, guess what? Evil is always present. We're always pulled in another direction. We're pulled in another direction. Perhaps nothing obvious, but Satan is whispering in our ears, is causing us to resist a little bit, maybe. Yeah. I get home from work, I'm tired. And everybody that works knows that feeling. You get home from work and you're tired. What do you want to do? And Brother Jose mentioned it one time. He said, I get home from work, all I want to do is to sit on the couch and grab the remote. Falling into that easy trap of comfort. Comfort. We come home and I'm tired and I just want to sit down and relax. Now, saying we should maybe take that little bit of time and relax and have a cup of coffee or whatever you revive with, but then we need to not waste our time. And Satan's a great inventor of wasting time. Just think about it. He is. He's a great inventor of wasting time. So spiritually, we need to draw closer to God. Scripture, Psalm 51. I'm going to turn to it, make sure I quote it right. And I think you know where I'm going, and it's a familiar one. I've used it several times. Psalm 51, verse 10. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. This creating me a clean heart, it requires something from me. For God to create, and I pray this prayer. Create in me a clean heart, but it requires something from me. I have to do something. I just can't sit back and pray, God created me a clean heart, and expect God to do that. I have to do my part. I have to say no to that urge to waste my time. I have to say no to certain things. I have to do my part. And if we do our part, God can give us a clean heart. No, that repentance, a change of thinking, a change of heart, a change of desire, doing things differently. Repentance is just not asking for forgiveness and going about our life the same way. Repentance is doing things differently. Obviously, if we need to ask for repentance, we're doing something that's not quite right, so we need to change our thinking, need to change what we're doing, and do things right. And then God, and I can bear witness to this, God, little, but it's not overnight, but little by little changes us, creates that clean heart. There's a Psalm 17:65, real quick. But don't lose your place here. I'm not done with that one. But Psalm 17. I think this goes along with verse 65 of getting a clean heart within us. And this is Alma Tehillman, and he was speaking to him. Verse 65, it says, and now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not those secret plans unto this people, but teach them, an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. We must hate it. Not just dislike it, not just, you know, well, that's kind of bad. We have to hate sin and iniquity. It really shouldn't be part of our being. It really shouldn't be part of what we do, what we think, or anything. We must hate it. Put it aside. And then God will create a clean heart. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from us. He will. Doesn't mean he won't come back with something different. But in that particular instance, he will flee because we resisted. We said no. Sometimes that's all we have to do is say no. No. So we ask God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit. And that is a gift. I believe that is a gift from God. He will renew that right spirit that we have. Once we've done our part and he's created that clean heart, that spirit will come back in full force. And then, cast me not away from thy presence. And we, I don't think we should be fearful perhaps, but we need to be conscious that we can be cast away from the presence of God. And then take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That precious, precious gift from God. Pray that it will not be taken. Pray that we do not offend that Spirit of God. That he will leave us. That he will leave us. I'm sorry, I got notes all over the place here. I'm trying to make some sense here. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Now, it's something I think we need to be mindful of this scripture. In verse 42, the words of the Lord, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household? To give them their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. That's what the Lord wants when he returns, whenever that is. Or when we go to meet him. I want to be found doing what the Lord has asked me to do. Being a faithful servant over whatever he's given us. Or of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants and do eat and drink and to be drunk. Hopefully I don't think this applies. This part does not apply to us. And then the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at that hour when he is not aware, he can cut him in sunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And I think I'll quit there. If we know, and we do, we're beyond excuse. We know what we need to be doing, and we need to be about it. Oh, we make mistakes and we're going to fail. God gave us weaknesses. He said that he gave unto us weaknesses that he can manifest himself into us. So when we fail, and please don't take this as an excuse to fail, but when we do, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't say, oh no, it's too much or it's too late. Don't do that. Overcome that weakness. resist the devil and he will flee from us. I think we need to keep in mind also who we worship. You know, 2,000 years ago, our Savior came to the earth and he walked amongst the children of men. He did miracles. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He walked on water. He turned the water into wine. But perhaps more important than that, he gave us his gospel. He gave us his gospel. He gave us that plan of salvation. He gave us his words. As Paul said in Romans, he said, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation. He gave us everything that we need. He built his church. He hung on the cross. He spilled his blood. He died for us. Took his life back again and broke the bands of death. But who is he? Who is he? In Mosiah chapter 1. And we know who he is. Mosiah chapter 1. Verse 102. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the creator of all things from the beginning, and his mother shall be called Mary. No doubt who he is. He is our creator. In reality, only thing that God the Father created was Jesus Christ. Christ says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end of God's creation. Everything else was created by Christ. And it's by his word. And this is the power of the being that came to us. The one that we worship, the one that we follow. By his word, he created. By his word, he just spoke. By his word, he calmed the sea. By his word, he rose Lazarus from the dead. The power of his word. That's who we worship. That's the God that we have. That's why we should not fear. We should have no fear because we serve the living God. And there are several scriptures that point to Christ being the Creator, our Savior. You go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And he's describing things that are going to happen. It's a series of events. And he said, you're going to see all these signs. And I believe that we're seeing signs of things that are coming. But he says in verse 28, he says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Not to walk downtrodden, not to be afraid, not to be fearful, but to lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. As Paul said in Romans, he said, if Christ is for us, who can be against us? Who could be against us? And he goes on to say there's depth or height or anything. There's nothing. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God and his power and his spirit. We have this spirit that God has given us that dwells within us. And really, that spirit is the power of God that dwells within us. God speaks to us by his spirit. God moves upon us by his spirit. I think occasionally he comes in person, but generally, you know, we're sitting in a prayer service and that spirit of God will move amongst us, prompting people to stand up, touching hearts. causing joy, causing sadness, causing all sorts of things. It's the Spirit of God that moves upon the children of men. Second Nephi, chapter 3. And this is a familiar scripture as well. It's Nephi's cry to God. In the beginning of this cry, he says, "Why am I so angry?" You know, he's angry at his brothers. And I honestly would be angry with my brothers too if they did half the things to me that his brothers did to him. I would be angry, but Nephi was sorrowful because of that anger. You know, and after all the things that God had done for him, he says, "I still have anger. I still have anger." And then in verse 49. 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 49. "Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions." Let's not be weak. Let's not be weak. We're afflicted. We have, you know, we have a lot of afflictions in this world today. We have a lot of troubles, of physical afflictions. We have mental afflictions. We have emotional afflictions. We have all sorts of afflictions in this world today. But Nephi says, "Do not slacken my strength. Do not ease my strength. Help me be strong. Help me to be strong. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever." No matter what happened, a lot of bad things happened to Nephi. A lot of good things, but a lot of bad things happened to him. And he says, "I will praise thee forever." Even in his worst afflictions, he never cursed God. He never gave up. He praised his God. And he said, "My soul will rejoice in thee, my God, the rock and the rock of my salvation." Christ is our rock. He's our fortress. He's that cornerstone that we build, you know. Edifices have cornerstones and they're built from that. And everything's measured from that. And that's what holds the building together. He's our cornerstone. He's the rock of our salvation. "O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? And then wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin?" To me, one of the most... the verse that jumps out at me said, "Make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin." None of us like sin. None of us will embrace it, but do we shake at the appearance? Are we abhorred by it? Do we hate it? Do we hate sin? Do we hate iniquity? God says we must hate it. "May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite." That's what God wants from us, that broken heart, that contrite spirit. "O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness?" And he can do that. He can circle us with his righteousness. It's my choice. It's my choice what God does with me. You know, he may have a plan for every one of us here, and he does. But we can change that plan. Yeah. Brother Adam, I think, read this morning that God repented of what he was going to do. It doesn't mean that he was repenting the way we do, but he changed his mind. And we can change God's mind that he can use us. But he has a plan. "O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wouldst clear my way before me, and hedge not me up my way, but the ways of mine enemy?" God can protect us. God can keep us from harm, from danger, from evil. It's about me. It comes down to me. It really does. One of our sisters gave a testimony about asking, and I don't remember exactly, but asking God's for to help, but in reality, she had to do it. And then God will help us. Sometimes we get it backwards. We ask God to help us, and then we'll do it. We have to do it first, and then God will help us. Change our hearts, change our minds, change our thinking, change our attitudes, whatever it is. Oh, Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. This needs to be the prayer of each one of us. Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh. We can't put our trust in the government. We can't put our trust in the medical system, in the scientific community. They will fail us. They think they have the answers, but God is the only one that has the answers. Oh, God can use them. Yeah, they may have solutions, and they may be able to do great things, but they will not save us. They're not our answer. They are not our answer. God is our answer. Don't put your trust in the arm of flesh. All these things that are going on around us, really insignificant. God is in control. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I lift up my voice unto thee, and I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. God will give us the desires of our hearts if they're righteous, if our cry is righteous, and if it's... And we can pray. I think we can pray, God, make me have righteous desires. Help me to have righteous desires. The bottom line of our prayer, the bottom line is what I'm asking for, good for God. Is it good for God? Will it bring glory to God? Will it further his cause? Will it further this gospel? Will it strengthen his church? It's not about me. It's never about me. It's about God's work, his kingdom, his glory, his honor. So if we were asking for those reasons, whatever, God, help me to do what I can do to further glorify you, to further the work of the gospel, to make this a stronger church, to make maybe a better community, God will bless us. He will bless us, and he will hear our cry. And he said, behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. He is our rock. He is our everlasting God, and he is always, always with us. And that's his promise. He promised he would never forsake us. He's not going to forsake his people. Much has been given to us. Many blessings. We've probably in reality been given more than 99% of the people that live on this earth spiritually. And because of that, he expects more from us. He expects us to be a light to this world. He expects us to be a beacon. He expects us to walk righteously. We live in troublesome times, but we are in the hands of God. Remember that, believe that, trust him, trust him, trust him for all. Trust him that he will fulfill his design, his desire. Trust him that he can fulfill it in each individual life within the sound of my voice. He can fulfill his will. He can fulfill his desire for every one of us. And he has a plan. We don't know it all. We have, we kind of see through that glass darkly. But if we have faith and trust, he will lead us step by step. And maybe it comes down to on a need-to-know basis. You know, you hear that expression. It's a need-to-know basis. Perhaps there's things that we don't need to know. But if it's necessary, if we need to know it, if it for him to be able to use us, He will give us the understanding, the wisdom, and the direction. A time of change. A time of change for us. A time of preparation. Use this time wisely to prepare for the future. God will be with us. God will bless us. And we can have the joy of the Spirit no matter what. So prepare for the future. Draw closer to God and He will be with us. You know, there's a saying, you know, if God seems far away, who moved? God's never moved. He's always there. He's always been the same. I'm the one that's moved. If God seems further away, I'm the one that's moved. If He seems closer, it's because I've drawn closer to Him. So I hope this made sense. I hope that my scattered thoughts kind of come together. But I guess the bottom line is that we need to serve God, and we need to be better. We need to be better. We need to move forward. We need to move upward. We need to be spiritually growing day by day. I read this book, and he said, in reality, and it's partly, not totally, but partly true, that God's purpose is to build in us daily a spiritual character. We need to grow spiritually. He's creating us a spiritual character. And that's, He wants us to be like His Son. We need to be Christ-like in our thinking, in our actions, in our desires. Thank you for your time. And God bless you. And may He be with us during this time of our lives.